I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here again this morning. What I'd like to share with you today is some of the dealings with the Lord in my own life. The topic I'd like to share with you is accepting responsibility. And when the Lord first dealt with me about this topic, I felt I understood the direction for it. And I thought of it kind of like Isaiah 6, the 6th chapter. When Isaiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, who will go?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And I felt like that's the direction this is. But the Lord came back and dealt with me and said, "You know what? That's not all the story." Isaiah didn't just get there. He had to have some work done on him before he came to that place. You remember it said he realized when he came into the presence of God, he said, "I'm an unclean man." Realizing I need some help from the Lord. Instead, came with a coal of fire, touched his tongue, and said, "Your iniquities are cleansed." You know, the Lord started dealing with me that before I'm ever to accept responsibility about spiritual things in the church, there's some other accepting responsibility that I will have to do. And that is accepting responsibility about who I am throughout my life and how I will respond to God's dealings with me about that. So this message has two parts. The first one, like Isaiah, I've got to accept responsibility about who I am as the Lord deals with me. Not just when I was a sinner, but today, adjustments that He wants to make in my life about who I am. I'd like to start with in Proverbs, the 20th chapter. There are a couple verses here that I'd like to look at. Proverbs 20 and the 6th verse. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" That's an interesting verse. Most men would be happy for you, and I would be also, for you to know my good points. The things that are good about me. But then I want to move to the next chapter, 21 and 2. Because here's a problem that I face. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart." You know, I'm able to justify my actions to men. How does God see it? So I want to talk to you a little bit about a place that the Lord dealt with me in my life. Jesus saw Nathanael coming one day, and he said, "Here's an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." You know, guile is a word I don't even like. I don't even like the sound of it, and I sure don't like the definition of it. Guile is deceitful, leading a person in a different direction than maybe what truth would cause them to go. You know, I remember when I was a child growing up, Mom and Dad always told me, "Do not lie." You know, there's a verse just as clear as can be, says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire." So it was just always clear to me, should you do it, you better clear it up before you go out of here into eternity. So I always wanted to be very careful in my life about that. You know, it spoke about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What he said, you could, what we used to say, take it to the bank. Sometimes in a court, you will hear that they will say, "The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." Well, the Lord dealt with me a few years about something about who I was. And it happened in an incident that happened in my life. I work in Oklahoma City in a couple high-rise buildings doing maintenance. Been there for 28 years, and you know, I have a desire for my boss to think well of me, probably as all of us do. And before I started there, in a building that size, to get the electric throughout the building, they don't run it in wires, they run it in a bus duct. It's plates, copper plates, that take 3,000 amps up into the building. Well, that had to pass through our parking garage. And before I'd ever started there, there was an expansion joint that was over the top of that, that was outside for outside the building, and it leaked. And water ran into that, on that bus duct, and it exploded. And cost them a lot of money to be able to repair it. So when I started there, they had a walkthrough sheet that every morning we would walk around and we would check the equipment and we would check it off. All these things are okay. And one of those was to inspect that bus duct every day. It doesn't matter if it's rain outside or sunshine. They had put a shield over it to protect it. But still, because it was so expensive to repair, they said check it every day. So one day I was doing the walkthrough, and it was raining lightly outside, just a little rain. And I went by there, and I saw a drip. It was dripping on the shield, but I knew, you know what, we need to get this repaired. I'll finish this walkthrough, and I will call in to get it repaired. And I forgot all about it. Did not think again about it for 2 days. And I was coming into work, and it was pouring down rain, and I remembered then. And I went to look at it, and rain, water was running in on that bus duct just like it had done when it exploded. And I called my boss. I said, hey, we got big problems. I'm here at it. I see water on it. Call the contractors that repair it. They came out, and they repaired it before it exploded. And my boss was there. The contractors are finished. The danger is over. And he tells me, he said, Dan, I want you to know that I really appreciate how you look out for this building. You're always just on top of it to make sure nothing goes wrong. And you know what I told him? Nothing. I kind of like that myself. And you know what? It was the truth. I had told him the truth. I was standing right there watching it. And it was raining on it, and it needed to be repaired. But I didn't tell him the whole truth. You know what? The Lord is faithful to us. He's not willing that any would perish. And there can be little seeds that get planted in our heart that if they're not taken care of, they can grow into something bigger. And when he said that, and I said nothing, he turned around and headed back to his office. And I still saw his back when the Lord said, you can't leave it that way. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I head behind him, heading for the office, and tell him, I said, you know what, there was more to that story than I led you to believe. I saw it a couple days ago, and I just forgot about it. Now, what difference does that make? You know, it can go into other areas of our life. And we can sometimes say those are just little things. And I'll tell you just another little thing. Every once in a while I'll get determined I am going on a diet. It is time, and always it's tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to start this diet. I've got it all planned, what I'm going to do. So I go to work the next day, and Cheryl's going to coach me. She's going to help me out along with it. So I come home from work the next afternoon, and she'll okay, Dan, how's it going for you today? What did you eat? Well, you know what? If you're on a diet, you eat salad. So I did eat salad. And I told her I ate salad. And that's all I told her. And I told her the truth. That was the truth. But what I didn't tell her was salad just wasn't enough on that first day of dieting. And so I got a pack of donuts after that. And I had told her the truth. I did eat a salad. But you know how these things will come in and they will slip into little areas of our life. So you know what? If I'm not careful, it can become a part of who I am. To where I don't accept responsibility for who I am. You know, it may seem like a small thing what happened about the problem there at work, except that just a few days later I realized why the Lord was so interested in me accepting responsibility about things like that. Because just a few days later, the elevator company that was in our building, we would take care of the painting of our fan rooms. And I used a paint that was very strong, but we would do it after hours. And so he asked me, he said, "What paint do you use?" So I told him how to do it. Everything seemed fine to me. But what they did was they painted in the bottom of the elevator shaft, and those fumes went up through the elevator shaft, and he closed the door when he finished, so the fumes built up there in the bottom of that shaft. And a woman that worked there in the building, she got in the elevator going down with others, and it was very strong in the elevator. And she said, "This is making me sick. I can't stand this smell." And she stepped out of the elevator, stepped out of the building, and collapsed there. And she died that night. And she had two little girls. And you know, I realized right then, this is why it's important. Don't allow guile to grow in any area. Because if ever there's a time that I want to shift responsibility, it's when someone has died. And so I said, you know what? I am not going to shield myself on this one at all, no matter what it takes. So I just let them know, here's the part that I had to play in this. And before it was over, our company had been sued, and the elevator company had been sued, and the paint company had been sued. But you know what? I had a clear conscience about it. You know, something for us to realize, it says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. So that is an area that God has dealt with me about. Be very careful. The little things in life that don't seem to be very big, they can grow into something very big quickly. So there is a verse that I'd like to work with for a little bit that will help us all. It will help me. It's in Ecclesiastes. Right in the very last, we're talking about accepting responsibility. And I want to work to the place that we use Isaiah's testimony that he says, "Here am I now, I'm accepting responsibility, send me." But we have some other things I'd like to check first. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You know what? A healthy fear of God on my heart is going to be very important for me going through my life. In the decisions that I make, the choices that I make, realizing that God knows every secret thing and they're going to be brought into judgment will be a help to me. And then I started looking throughout the Scripture at how many people failed to accept responsibility for their actions. And I realized, you know what? This could be a universal problem. And it's a problem that I need to guard in my own life. Accepting responsibility for my actions. It began with Adam and Eve. When Eve took of the fruit, she gave it to Adam and he ate. God did not go to Eve first. He went to Adam first. And he used some simple questions. First one was, "Where are you, Adam?" And the next one was, "Adam, did you eat of that fruit?" A simple question. It needs only a simple answer, yes or no. Did he give a simple answer, yes or no? Uh-uh. Shifted responsibility. He asked, "Did you eat of the fruit?" And he starts off with, "That woman that you gave me." It's somebody else. You know, it's so easy, if we're not careful, to not take responsibility for my actions. It's somebody else. And that's what he was saying is, it's that woman that you gave me. She's the one that gave it to me and I did eat. He went to Eve and she was working with it, same thing. It's that serpent. He's the one that did it. It's something that we will face throughout my life, throughout our lives. And the devil knows that this is an important tool to use, because the only way I'm going to get help is when I acknowledge my part. There's a verse of a song that says, "It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And when I will do that, I have a good chance of being able to get help from the Lord. Because it steps right on down to their children, Cain and Abel. You know, there's something in ministering that I want to be very careful about. Because a lot of these stories don't give us a whole lot of information. I would like to have more information, and if I'm not careful, I will add my own thoughts to it. And the scripture warns me about adding to or taking away. So even with this story of Cain and Abel, I want to be real careful, because there's only a little bit of information given, but it's enough for me to pick up some things. It says that Cain, he gave of the fruit of the ground. Abel gave of the flock. And many times I've heard, okay, we can explain that because God said it's a meat offering that is needed. Well, we only have three chapters so far in the Bible, and there's nothing there that God has said. There may be something has been done, but what he gives me is, whatever it was, God did not accept Cain's, but he did accept Abel's. And what he also, it tells me clearly, I don't have to add to or take away from, he told Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And then it says Cain kills his brother Abel. There are some things that I can know very clearly. Cain did not have this fear of God on his heart like he should have. Because God comes to him with a simple question. Where's your brother? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? To say that in the face of God, there's one thing we can know for sure. And I don't want it to happen in my life, that I have a lack of the fear of God in my heart. There was another example, and that was Aaron. You know, Aaron was one of those that when God was on the Mount Sinai, God told Moses, bring up Aaron with you. And you know, Aaron was right there in the presence of the Lord for a little while. And then he was sent back down to take care of the children of Israel for the 40 days that Moses went up into the mountain. You know, he had had a close experience with God. And now they're saying, make us a God to lead us. You know, Aaron should have said, I'll die before I do that. I have just been in the presence of the real God. But instead he tells them, we know the story, get your gold, we'll make you something. But you know, when Moses came down and he confronts Aaron about that, again, we see the shift of blame. It's the people. You know these people. You know how they're just full of mischief. And anyhow, I'll explain to you what happened. We took the gold and we put it in the fire, and out came this calf. That was the truth that did come out, but it wasn't the whole truth. We find this to be a human nature that follows down. It followed to King Saul. When King Saul was told, go to the Amalekites and destroy everything. You know, how could he stand before the prophet and say, I have performed the will of the Lord. I have done what God said. And when he was asked, okay, then what is this sound that I'm hearing? Immediately, it was someone else. The people, they did this. So I start seeing more and more responsibility for our actions is very important. Lord, this is who I am. And Lord, I want to be honest before you that you would be willing to show me who I am and the places that maybe today it's not a danger, but if I give it a little space, just like we heard about the seed this morning, I want to tell you there's other things beside good seed that wants to be planted in my heart and allowed to grow. There was another person that for a while he failed to accept responsibility. And that was when David sinned with Bathsheba. And that sin progressed farther and farther. I don't believe he could have ever realized what the beginning of that, at the beginning of that, where it would lead him to. That he could cause her husband to be killed in battle. But then the prophet comes to him. And when the prophet says, "Thou art the man," King David's got a choice to make. Accept responsibility, or he could have the prophet killed. But he accepted responsibility, and we get to read about it in the prayer that he prayed of repentance. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Lord, I realize that I have sinned. I acknowledge my transgression." Just opening up before the Lord and taking responsibility for his actions. You know, we find places in the Bible where someone took responsibility for their actions, but it was too late. And that was with Achan. You know, when Achan took from Jericho, he could not see out into the future what the price tag for that would be when he hid it. And I thought in my mind, what must have gone through his mind when God tells Joshua, "Get up, there's sin in the camp." I don't know how many people there was, but there were a lot of people, and it could be easily thought, "He'll never find me." But then he moves to the tribes. You know, God could have easily said, "Go over there and tell Achan to tell you what he did." But he didn't do it. He moved from one tribe until he picked the tribe that Achan was from. And then he picked the family that Achan was from. And it moved down to Achan himself. And he told him, "Tell me what you've done." And you know what? At that point, he accepted responsibility. It was too late for him and for his family. God is a merciful God. But you know, his mercy extends so far. And he tells us, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The sowing that I'm doing is going to bring some reaping. And it has a price tag to it. I want to walk very carefully in my life." Because Achan, I believe, had no way to realize my family would die because of this little choice of a Babylonish garment and a little bit of money. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of God to give account. So when the devil would come to me to tell me, "Don't accept responsibility for my actions, it's somebody else's fault anyhow," may I be honest before the Lord and realize that there's nothing that's done in secret that won't be revealed. Sometimes here, but the worst time will be if it waits until later. Have another one. It's Ananias and Sapphira. They had a window of opportunity that they could accept responsibility for their actions and change. But time starts passing and they continue on in their direction. "We sold this land for so much. Don't want to give it all, but we want to look like we're giving it all." And heading toward the chapel, you know what? At any time they could stop and said, "What are we even thinking? Don't we know that God understands the secrets of a man's heart?" And they could have repented right then and cleared it up. But they moved on. And you know, Ananias never got to tell what the price that he sold it was. Because Peter told him, "Satan has started working in your heart to do this. You have not lied to men, you've lied to God." And Ananias fell over dead. What a price to pay. Let the window of opportunity close for him. And that story is amazing to me, that for 3 hours, his wife never finds out that he has died. And then she comes into the place there, and she gets the question asked, "Did you sell it for this much?" Little did she know that the window of opportunity for her to take responsibility for her actions, it's closing. The words she says of what price it is determines what's going to happen to her. And she died there. I am thankful that we live in a time of mercy. Mercy is extended to us. Another story was when the scribes and the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery, asking what should be done. And again, I don't have enough information, and I want to start adding a little bit to it. It doesn't give me a whole lot of information. What it does say is he starts writing on the ground. But it says that what convicted them was what they heard. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they started leaving. You know what they were doing? Their window of opportunity was closing themselves, because they were realizing themselves, whoa, I got something inside myself here. But instead, they chose to leave. The young man that came running to Jesus, and what good thing can I do that I may inherit eternal life? You know, he had a window of opportunity when the Lord tells him, here's what you do, and he walks away from it. There's one more. Sometimes the Lord wants us to accept responsibility for who I am before I ever even get in trouble. You know what? He would like to tell me, warn me ahead of time. The Holy Spirit would like to do this. Warn us ahead of time. This is ahead. You need to watch, and you need to be very careful in this area. When Jesus spoke to Peter and said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. And Peter says, he knows himself. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. That means it's just a few hours away before it's going to happen. Is it possible that the Lord would like to deal in my life that way? Before the trouble ever comes to me, that he would warn me, be real careful of this area. And because I know myself, I override it. Lord, I'm with you all the way. This can't be me. But I am also glad for the rest of the story with Peter, when he went out and he wept bitterly. So as I look at these, there's a prayer that I need to pray. And it's found in Psalms. And I really I need to send this one up maybe to the Lord every day. Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I'm going to cover for myself and feel like it's okay. But here's the prayer I need to be praying. It's in Psalms 139 and 23-24. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So now that I am willing to take responsibility when the Lord deals with me about my life, now I would like for just a few minutes to take a look at taking responsibility for places in the church that need me to step up. There's a verse that says, when I was a child, I spake like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I remember when I was a boy, if I could get me a couple dollars, it would either go for candy or a toy. I didn't look much farther than that. But you know, there's some people when they become adult, accepting responsibility. I had to do it when I got a family. I got children now. I've got other responsibilities I need to look to. There are some people that they grow up and they never accept responsibility. My toys are bigger and more expensive now. And you know, really in the church, I thought about for myself, what benefit was I to the church for many years? I was happy to be a bench warmer. Brought my family, come to service every day, every time there was service that I could. And when there was a responsibility that needed to be taken, I would pass it up. Not me. Someone can do it much better than I can. There is a verse in Matthew 25. I'd like to look at it just a little bit before we close. Because you know what? This area is so easy. Because maybe the majority of us feel like we're the one with not much that we could give. And the Lord addresses that in Matthew 25 and 15. When he gives to one person five talents, to another two, to another one. He didn't do that because this one is my best friend and I'm going to give him more. It says he gave it to him according to his several ability. He realized how much this person can take care of. You know what? In all those years, I felt like I'm the one in the one talent category. I can't do it. So many can do it better than I can. But you know what? There's another story that goes right along with this. And I find out then it doesn't matter about what the ability I feel like I have. And that is in the book of John, in the 6th chapter and in the 9th verse. You remember they were at a place where Jesus says, we've got a big multitude here. We're needing to feed them. What are we going to feed them? And the disciples don't see any way that it's possible. But what they do tell him is, we have this lad here. He's got, 9th verse, 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? And you know what? I can say I've got this one little talent. What is it when there is so much of a need? What I need to realize is this thing is a two-part. I've got to go take care of this first one first. And I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life, throughout my life, that He would be able to show me places that I need to adjust to be more like Him and to be able to do my little part for Him. But then what I find out from this is it really doesn't matter that I have just a little if I will be willing to give it to the Lord. He is the one that can cause it to be increased. You remember when there were some people saying, we're of Paul, somebody else, we're of Apollos, and Paul settled it all. He said, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? It's just that one waters the other plants, but it's God that gives the increase. For me to be able to realize throughout my life, Lord, I want to take care of first things first, but then I want to be willing to give myself to you. Brother Larry Abbott, and maybe he has said it here when he was here in the past, he said, God is not looking for our availability, for our ability. He's looking for my availability. He's not looking to see, is he a real good speaker? Sister Rich said this recently, God will not call us to our strength. He will call us to our weakness. If I were, and I think about this, how many ministers I've heard say, it scares me and I shake when I get up here to preach, but I'm willing to do it. You know, Paul had some good points about him. And he said, those things that were gained to me, I counted them loss. Gave it all up, gave it to the Lord, that He would be able to work with it. You know, sometimes it's something as simple as for me to accept responsibility. For many years, I would come to service, and it gets real quiet when we say, let's go down to prayer. And I would be thinking, come on, why doesn't somebody start praying? Come on now, everybody knows we ought to pray. And then I hear this, what about you? And I say, oh, I can't do it. I mean, other people can pray so much better. They can remember the requests and all that. But then we come back to this, talents. Lord, I have one, but I'm willing to give it to you. Willing to accept responsibility in the church when things come up. Willing for someone else to do it, but ready just in case they don't. Willing to give myself to the Lord. Maybe I can't say it as well as others, but you know what about Moses? It says that God spoke to him like a friend to a friend. You know what? I'm not embarrassed to be praying to the Lord when I'm going down the road or when I'm walking out in the yard. Folks, you know what? When I come into the church service, I ought to be able to I'm communicating with my friend. Lord, we've got a few requests here that I'd like to talk to you about. There just happens to be a few other people that will hear me tell you about it this time. But that I believe the devil would like to push us. He has done it to me for so many years. Push us in a corner that I can't do it. Let somebody else do it. And then I started realizing, wait a minute. I'm getting gray-headed. If I'm not willing to pass out of my comfort zone now, when will it ever happen? So in my life, I want to be willing. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life, that He be able to check me on anything in my life that needs to be adjusted at any time He wants to adjust it. When that is done, I want to be willing to accept responsibility. Lord, if there's something that needs to be done, I'd be glad for somebody else to do it. But if not, Lord, I'll be there. I will give my little part, because it said you fed a lot of people with just a little bit of fish and bread. I don't think they chased that little boy down and tackled him and took the lunchbox away from him. I believe it was just, you know, I brought this for my lunch here, but here it is. I believe it was offered. And I believe that that's all that the Lord asked for each of us, is just to offer it. And sometimes we could look at things and say, you know what, but it's so small. God doesn't look at it that way. Here's a song I'd like to close with. It says, in the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. And you know, sometimes we'll think, okay, it's going to be some big thing. You know, we heard this morning about people coming in contact with other people one-on-one. And sometimes we can think that's some small things, but it's big to the Lord. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It's great if God's in it. He will not forget His own. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is won, He will say, if we're faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you may win it, if you will go in Jesus' name. So if there are any here that are feel like you're the one talent, and it's so hard to come out of your comfort zone, I'm there with you. But I want to tell you what I'm finding is, all I've got to do is just offer what I have to the Lord and move on from there. I realize there are so many ministers that can do it much better. And so I said, I'll just sit down and let them do it. And that's not what the Lord calls for. Maybe mine will help them to realize, whoa, I'm doing pretty good myself. But all I got to do is the best. Give my best to the Lord. To each of us, let's do that same thing. Let's go through life realizing, you know what, I'm headed for eternity. We hear of people in the service this morning that just this week have gone out into eternity. How I allow God to work in my life and show me who I really am, because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I need the Lord to search me. Let's pray the prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Just the things that I'm thinking before they ever become an action. Talk to me about them, Lord, because I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. And I don't want to just make heaven my home myself, but I would like to be able to be a help to someone else. Help me, O God. I desire your prayers. Thank you.